Experiment.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's King Boris back again with KB Experiment Podcast. Got another episode here with my man Fritz. What's going on, my friend? I love your glasses, I gotta say. I need to get LASIK so I can wear sunglasses.
I actually got a LASIK back in 2012, 2011. It's been a while, yeah. But my vision is still 2020. It's pretty cool. But the reason I'm wearing these glasses, I'm going to take it off and you're about to laugh right now. I know I just got back from vacation, but look how dark my face is. I'm like all burnt up. So yeah, I was in St. Thomas for a solid week. So I literally just got back a couple hours ago this midnight. So yeah, here we are now back in Chicago, beautiful Chicago. But chilling and excited to be here, man. So what do we got? What do we got talking about today, Boris?
We're going to talk about life, business, and the pursuit of all that. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have no clue what it's about. They're too scared of it. You know, I mean, I was scared before I even jumped into owning my own and really handling it on myself. Just talking about the stress, the struggles, there's a lot of times that people quit. You know, so there's a difference. Why did you not quit? Did you get to a point where you were going to quit? You know, did shit hit the fan and it just got tough, but you know, you made it out? Because, you know, some people don't know, they can't make it out. They don't know how to make it out. They, you know, business falls apart. And then, of course, COVID. I mean, COVID kind of put a wrench in everything. So there's a lot of people that overcame and or started something new at COVID versus everything fell apart for them and, you know, they don't know where to go and or what to do. So now everything's kind of opening up, at least in Texas. I'm in Houston and Texas is like, we're going full blast. So, you know, businesses over here are packed. Everybody's doing what they normally do. Everybody's still wearing masks and everything, but you could see the difference in the businesses that didn't make it till today, because there's a lot of companies that shut a lot of stuff down here and around the country. But, you know, as a small, you know, you're a small business owner compared to like corporate America.
Of course.
Right. So that's a whole totally different set of rules. And what would I say? You know, mindset, because it's you. You know, you don't always have a boss or CEO to turn to. It's like, okay, I got to handle this shit on my own. And, you know, that's very mentally trying. You know what I mean?
It really is. To be honest, like, I think the mindset is the first step before you even take action. Before I get into any type of business collaborations, or if I want to get to any type of business partnerships, or if I was to get into sort of investments or anything at all, like, I got to set my mind right at first. Cause I know for a fact, like you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of obstacles and failures and all these things that you have to go through, the hardships and the stresses that comes with it, right? You got to handle employees. There's nobody above you to go over the strategies and stuff like that. There can be only, you know, yourself that you can rely into. So I think the mindset for me had accumulated over time. It didn't happen overnight. You know, I have to go through this trial and error and a lot of failures. I mean, I've started over probably 13, 14 different businesses, but guess what? How many businesses only was able to somewhat succeed? Only two of them. And that's one of my restaurants. And this is my Instagram personal brand and social media, right? Which is my coaching, my mentorship side of things. I think people tend to forget like the actual consistency that comes with it, the persistency that just because you fail a couple of times doesn't mean that you have to start over again with a different thing and idea. I think for me, what had happened is that each failure that comes with my journey, like I take the lessons from it and apply it on the next one until I succeed before I jump into the next venture. I mean, until now, I mean, you talk about it, COVID, man. COVID got impacted a lot of my restaurant. I own three restaurants, right? And guess what? Two of them I sold way under the price and I lost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's not even like my main, like I feel bad for it. But at the same time, my main thing is that, shit, bro, like that's 20, 30 plus employees that lost their jobs.
Yeah.
That's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of customers that lost that cuisines that they like, you know? And myself, like I love going to the business meetings where I can show up to those restaurants and just show up in person and dress up nicely and introduce them that, hey, like, you know, this is my restaurant right here. Like I love those type of feeling, the actual the in-person meetings instead, I mean, right now, but you have to learn how to pivot. So pivoting for me, I focus more on my online base. So I was like, you know what? What's the one thing that got me there in the first place, right? And that's my online personal branding. And how did I get into the restaurant industry? How did I got to staffing, the clothing, the e-commerce, the investing, and all that stuff all together? It was because of Instagram. When I started back in 2011, so it's been a decade now, I started a fitness ambassador, bro. Like, I wasn't doing like entrepreneurship, mentorship, or anything like that at all. Nothing about business, but it was all about just me documenting my journey, showing my fitness journey from the startup, like me being super freaking skinny to like a Greek god type of physique, a man's physique, right? I don't know if you can see, like, this is all my accolades right there. You know, I got my pro card in IPE. League is an international pro elite. Athlete leagues were drug tested, were polygraph tested as well, and I compete professionally for that. I'm planning to step back on stage this year, so I need to be able to balance all my time management, the stress, the businesses, the clients, you know, my relationship, my travels. You know, I mean, we do monthly travels, my fiance and I, and we're trying to select a destination for our wedding. So and COVID had hit hard last year, and we have to postpone that, right? But, you know, thankfully, as I said, it's going back into the mindset is key. The consistency is key for sure. It's just like all about just moving forward. One step. It's always better to progress little by little, day by day, but not progressing at all. So one of the main things that I've done last year is that I set back. I'm going to be completely honest, completely transparent here. Like, I set back for probably like until around June or July. So from March when the COVID hits hard, from June or July, I didn't do anything. What I did was, I absorbed everything and just sit back and analyze, okay, where should I focus majority of my time from, right? Now it's like, okay, where did I get the capital to buy this restaurant? How did I get into the e-commerce industry? How where am I getting that? And that was all throughout the Instagram thing, the personal branding all comes back to that. So, I mean, I think that's like one of the main key to fully utilize whatever resources that you currently have and just set your mind straight and focus on one thing first before you diversify. Because I feel like back in 2014 to 2018, I diversified myself so far, so fast. So I didn't really become known on one thing just yet, right? So I was 2011 to 2014, 2015, I was known as a fitness influencer. I had a couple thousands of followers on Instagram throughout, you know, social media and whatnot. I generated my first six figure when I was selling my online coaching back then. Mm-hmm. Back in college, and that was a lot, but I didn't know business. I didn't know business strategy. I didn't know business mindset. I was just blowing off the money, going to Miami, going to Vegas, just traveling with my boys, having fun, partying and all that stuff, because I was still a college kid. So I didn't really fully utilize on the current business opportunities that was coming along my way. Like Gymshark was messaging me, Shreds was messaging me. Mm-hmm. I was able to consult for Gaspari Nutrition, Aesthetic Revolution, Ape Athletics, all these big fitness brands back then. Like, they were just sending me products and wanted to keep me as one of their main ambassadors. But me being young and naive and didn't really know the potential to stick with just one. But I was just like, you know what? I had this ego and pride back then. I was like, I'll just keep getting the free products. And I'll promote you guys whenever I feel like it. So that was a bad mindset for me. I didn't know the business side of things. But just getting back to that, that was just a quick touch base in terms of my fitness journey and personal branding.
I mean, that's kind of where I met you is, I don't know how many years ago, but I remember seeing your Instagram, seeing you. You used to work out in the gym all the time. So you had the camera angles, you know, but you also used to put out some business. I think you were doing some business coaching or something. You would walk in, you know, in your town and go to meetings. And right. I remember seeing those, you know, you have the way the town looks where you live, it's nice, right? So you used to use all the buildings and everything around you. So I always looked at that and I said, I like that atmosphere because I'm from New York. So I remember that. I moved to Houston, so it's totally different here. You know, we don't have these big buildings. It's all, you know, flatland. So I remember I came into your journey where you were already fit. You owned your restaurants, I think, because you would go to the restaurant and you would put it online. So I kind of saw like this dude, you know, he's doing his thing. He's working. He's
the daily grind. Life.
Yeah. Right. You put a lot of that out. And that's what, you know, that's what drew me into the profile. Right. So then I forget how we ended up talking because, you know, it's hard to remember how you met someone on Instagram. You know what I mean?
That's
it's
right.
Like you met them at the store. So
that's right. I mean, like we probably make a conversation to over thousands of people per week, if not more. I mean, I'm speaking from my experience. I'm pretty sure you do too. I mean, It's funny how social media works, right? We connected as long as you're able to resonate within each other's content. If I'm inspired by your content, you know, I'll give that a follow, and then vice versa. And I think it's a beautiful thing, because now we have this technology to fully utilize whatever business that you have, and you can connect with people all over the world, even if you guys don't speak the same language, mm-hmm. right? And which is crazy, even on Clubhouse, another social media tool again.
Yeah,
right.
So to bring to first, I like the social media talk, because that's a lot of what we do, and a lot of what kind of catapulted us into different areas of today is because mm-hmm. of social media. You know, utilizing it the right way. And I don't think, at least I didn't have a incentive to use social media as anything. It kind of, when it kind of started, you just used it, and then it became a thing, right? So
right.
When did Clubhouse come out? Like, well, when did Clubhouse really hit, what, in like
last November? Year, I think last year, April, earlier than
that's when they made it. That's when it was like small, but when they finally released it, where people could start inviting people.
I think November, December, yeah. 2020 last year. Yep, you're right.
And I will say I made some good money off of Clubhouse.
Same
made,
here.
You know, I made a lot of connections. I made customers. I've learned a lot off of Clubhouse. But one thing that I knew was it's the time that we came in was important to use it for what it was at that moment. Because right now it's kind of different.
It really is. You know, it really is.
It's not the way it was when we came in. And I think that being able to look at something like Clubhouse, especially in a, you know, pandemic setting that we came in with, it is it's a skill to look at it and go, you know what? This is a tool. How do I use it? Versus just going on there and talking shit and not really doing anything, like wasting time.
That's what a lot of people do.
Right. And you know, you could see some of the people on there who actually took advantage of it, used it, and are better off 6 to 10 months later because they saw it as the tool that it was. I know you did. I did. I have friends and I've made friends off of there that I still talk to, you know, and it hasn't been a year. I've never met them, but I'm going to Austin next weekend to do some stuff. You know, I'm going to meet a dude down there that owns a 4-acre lot that does virtual events. He has a really uh-huh. nice, you know, 17,000 square foot studio. Like, yeah, it's insane, but we met on Clubhouse. You know what I mean? So making those connections, I'm like, all right, now I have somewhere to go. I know who to talk to. We're working together on different projects. So they see my value. I see their value. But if I didn't look at it as that tool, I would have just been in there listening and not really, you know, paying attention, just letting my ego get in the way and, you know, trying to be someone who I'm not versus going right. in there, learning, right? Learning from the people that talk business, who do business, being able to teach other people. So I just think it's important that people understand that these are tools. Yes, you could have fun on them, but use them as tools to better yourself. It's a lot of people that just want to teach.
I'm going to be completely honest, man. I mean, this past couple months, I'll say probably from February to March, even up to April, I have been so inactive at Clubhouse. It's the same rooms yeah. over and over again. It's pretty much like, I would like to say, produce now. Like, they know the exact people who's going to be the moderator,
yeah.
right? Same people over and over again that's going to be speaking on stage. And some people just speak just to speak so they can get the clout, so they can get the attention, so they can get the followers and everything all together.
Yeah.
Even though they don't have that much insights or value to give, which is kind of sad. But yeah. then again, at the end of the day, I do understand it is social media, so they can socialize, so they can get more attention, so they can get more social currency, social proof, everything that revolves around it. But at the end of the day, I feel like you were saying, it's never been the same since back in November and December.
Yeah, it only lasted like 3 to 4 months of a good quality. You know, everybody just started going in there going, hey, what's this? But now, you know, when Elon Musk went on there, I mean, how many overflow rooms did they have?
A lot, man.
And he was, people were broadcasting the room live on every platform.
That's right. Even YouTube and Instagram, it was everywhere. Facebook, yep, all of that all together. So I think. Go ahead.
No, I was going to let you go.
No, I was going to say, so I mean, I don't cut it to a point where like, okay, people should just go out there and sell yourself and sell your products and sell your services and whatnot. I'm not telling people to do that. But I think what I'm telling people is this: go out there, be your authentic self, collaborate with people. And like you said, learn instead of always speaking on stage, even though you don't really have that much things to say. It's always good to listen from time to time. And I do that. So instead of me speaking on stage now, I jump in smaller rooms because I'm usually invited in the bigger rooms and they moderate me and stuff like that. And I hate how you sit on there for hours and hours and people just always try to talk over you. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people on stage, which I do understand. So you got to be patient. You got to play that game and everything all together. Yeah. So what I do now, if I'm not busy, running all my stuff, I'm not traveling or whatnot, and I try to log in, you know, 30 minutes, maybe an hour here and there, mm-hmm. once a week or twice a week or whatnot, I join the smaller rooms. What I tend to see is that I listen now, I step back, I listen for a couple bit. And then if I feel like I can drop some value, drop some gems, drop some insights based on my experience and my expertise, and then that's when I raise my hand and I being brought up on stage. And then when I share my value, I see this flooded, like even though it's only like 50 or even up to 100 people in the room listening, 20, 30 easily for the next 5 to 10 minutes I speak on stage, I get all of those DMs and follows mm-hmm. to social currency altogether. Because now I will only speak now when I see there's some sort of value. I'm not just going to speak just because I think or based on this, based on my opinion or whatnot, it's based on proven facts and right. value that I can actually take action. And it's a practicality. It's all about practicality, what they can do in terms of growing their personal brand and what they can do in terms of utilizing the clubhouse and everything all together, the first three lines on bio, how to integrate this, like all this basic knowledge that a lot of people doesn't know, especially if they're new onto the platform. So I think, like, you know, Clubhouse is a beautiful thing. You don't have to pitch yourself all the time. If anything, you should sit back, listen, absorb all this knowledge that's coming in, because you, come on, let's be honest. We don't know everything. I mean, I would love to, right? But sitting back and listening to everybody talk, here's some of their insights, some of their experiences. And I think that's the beauty of the entrepreneurship. As I'm a forever student of the game. I would love to listen and absorb and also apply and execute the knowledge that I'm able to listen in.
Yeah, that's definitely true. There's a lot of people that, you know, they, like you said, they just want to be the ones that everybody sees as something. Not saying that they are or they aren't, but to go in and just listen. Because there's always going to be something that you hear that you're like, oh, you know what? If I wasn't listening, or there's always some gem that somebody's going to drop that you just, you know, I was on there last night for like 30 minutes, 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Talked to some people and got some great information and that's it. I'm out. You know, I finished talking on stage. I asked some questions. I back out. I don't want to hog up the stage, but there's a lot of things that I don't know. So yeah, I'll go in there and you can tell who is really providing value versus whoever is reading off of the other YouTube videos that are on, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There's a difference. So you got to be careful who you listen to, because there's a lot of new people coming in. I think these guys or girls are gurus and, you know, oh, look, he's hosting rooms every day. That doesn't mean anything. You have to look at the quality. So if you come on and you say something that's actually valuable, that helps other people, okay.
But let's not, we're not trying to bring them down or anything. If anything, right. I respect those hustle boys. I'm going to be completely honest. This new up and coming hustlers and entrepreneurs are trying to utilize the platform. But then again, they're faking it, which is different, right? They're faking it like they are made already before even Clubhouse. No.
And that's what I'm saying. That's right. What I meant. I guess maybe I wasn't clear, but I was pretty much it's. The proof's in the pudding, right? You can tell whoever actually gives you value versus they have a good talking game only to try to sell you that value.
That's correct.
You know what I mean? So I'll go on there and drop all the gems that I can, and then people will reciprocate that and they'll reach out to me. So I really don't even have to go on there and try to sell myself. I just say, look, I'm going to say some things I know work, that I use. I would hope everybody does the same, but you know, that, and that's what I mean. You have to be careful. There's a lot of, there's a lot of people on there that are saying things,
but there's a lot of cap guys. For those who are listening, there's a lot of capping going on out there, especially when you look at their bio, they're saying, oh, I generate 6-7 figure per month. And then some of the people out there, oh, I generate 8-9 figures per year. Do they even know what the freaking 8 and 9 figure is? That's $10 and $100 million dollars. Who are you? I've never heard of you. And now you do a quick Google search, a quick LinkedIn search, Facebook, Instagram. You got nothing going on. Like, you're claiming to be somebody, right? And I hate those type of people, to be honest. That's why I love to call them out. I never claim myself a millionaire. Sure. Do I generate mid 7 figures in revenue? Sure. I never even claim myself as a multimillionaire, Boris. I don't know. And you'll never see it in any of my content at all.
There's no need to. I mean,
there's no need to. That's what I'm trying to get at. So I think if you guys are just starting out right now, and if you're just listening to somebody, whether it's an influencer that you look up to, an entrepreneur, a businessman, or whoever it is that you look up to, please make sure that you've done your due diligence on that person. Because you're going to get sold. Trust me, you're going to get sold. Yeah. I wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars buying courses after courses and webinars and stuff like that from this so-called gurus. But guess what? Those are just the videos that you can already absorb for free just by Googling it or watching it on YouTube or following the right people that's already giving those tips and exact strategies. They were just able to compile it, right? And then compile it in a course in a video format for you guys to pay to log in and watch, which gets really boring. I never really finish any type of courses because it's the same thing over and over again. And again, it's all about just practicality, man. Like, I think for me, when we go back to the initial conversation in terms of, okay, the COVID hits and a lot of money has been lost. My brick and mortar business had took a huge hit, like huge hit, man. Two of my restaurants, Tomi Sushi Chicago, Talia Spice, has been sold way underpriced, but I was happy I was sold it because I still have one restaurant that I'm holding on right now. Mm-hmm. Simply Talia. Guess what? Month after month, I'm losing money for all the expenses and it's still closed until now. And it's just very unfortunate. It's just the way it is, right? Yeah. So right now we're going through this trial and error experience in entrepreneurship journey. It's never going to be a final destination. It's a constant improvement. It's a constant progression. It's a constant of journey from step one to step two, step three, step four, level up, level up, level up. And it opens up multiple different doors along the way. And when I did that, when that happened, when I go back to the talking about from March until June or July, when I just sat back and just trying to analyze, okay, what I should be focusing on right now. Everything's closed. It's locked down. You know, I couldn't do anything. I'm so bored out of my mind. You know, I play games all day. I watch anime all day. My fiance and I like watched Netflix all day. We ate, like I gained, like, you know, I was out of shape and everything altogether. But at the same time, I was like, I had to step back, like, you know, okay, absorb all of this knowledge that's going on, this failures and the struggles and stresses that's happening right now, and see how could I fully come back from this and be even better. And that's where I realized, you know what? How did I get all this money from in the first place? How did I get this connections, this collaboration stuff back on Instagram? I think back then, so last year, I think I was only at like 60, 70K or something followers wise. And then I started collaborating with bigger influencers, bigger entrepreneurs, doing podcast shows like this, jumping onto Clubhouse had helped me. I probably gained at least 20K followers from there.
That was crazy. That first 3 months from November into January, how much traffic it generated. Whew. And they only gave you, was it Twitter and Instagram links? So hopefully your stuff was set up right, because I got people to the podcast, to the website. But
that's right,
just the traffic was insane. I've never seen a conversion that
quick. And it's quality leads, yes, man.
It was
real time. You know, once you're speaking on stage, people check you out. And I don't know about you, for some reason, I get more followers on Instagram rather than Clubhouse. So the conversion is like 3-1 or 4-1 for me. Yeah. So when people check me out on Instagram, they follow me there and they stay there. And then they send the DM, they send the emails, they send the likes, they send the follow and the comments and stuff all together. And then they forget to follow me on Clubhouse for just some. Yes. So the conversion for me is like 3-4.
I could be petty sometimes in a funny way. So there's times where I've called people out in a humorous manner.
Right.
You know, we know each other already from a Clubhouse. I'm like, hey, you know, everything's cool, but I don't understand why you don't follow me. So I'm just gonna let you know I'm a little hurt. My feelings are a little weak right now. You know, and everybody laughs because I would point that out. Like you know, we follow each other on Instagram. We already talked there, and then we forgot to, you know, do the same on Clubhouse. But does it really matter? Because there's times where I go into a room and I listen to someone. I'm like, oh, I want to hit them up. I go check. I'm like, oh shit, we already followed each other. So we must have had dialogue at some point. So it moves that quick. I mean, it was boom, 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 boom.
It really does, especially when you jump on stage and drop those gems and draft still value, and people are like, holy fuck, those are free strategies that I can implement right now. So what's going to happen if I hit up this person in terms of business inquiry? If he's giving out, if Fritz Lifestyle giving out free tips already on how to gain X amount of followers, X amount of engagement, X amount of money in a certain time on stage for free, what else will happen if I sign up to his coaching, to his mentorship? Correct. Right?
I mean, so that, I think that's the point.
That was just crazy.
That's the point. Give value. Give value, because sometimes people can't afford you, but they just need a little help. You know what I'm saying? They just need that little bit of info. And it doesn't cost us anything to, you know, there's enough people that will hire us out there. We can give info for free.
I love that you mentioned that, Boris. I love how you mentioned that there's enough people out there. There's always business for everybody. Yes. My mindset back then, as being naive, a young hustler, ambitious entrepreneur, it's all about just me. I do not want to collaborate. Me. Mm-hmm. Forget it. I will treat it as a competition. Yeah, we're in the same similar field, but not exactly the same. You're a competition. I don't want to collaborate. I switched that mindset when it all started back in 2018, 2019, when I was like, you know what? I think it's better when I collaborate with people. When I started doing the podcast hosting, when I started shouting out people back, when reposting their content, when they tag me, when I like and follow them back, because I was so picky, man. Like, I barely follow anybody at all. I was like, you know what? I've worked my ass off for years and years and decades with this entrepreneurship game. Why would I just give somebody else my everything right away, my support, without fully knowing them? So I vet those people. And I thought about it. It's like, you know what? Maybe I should open up a little bit. Maybe I should follow a couple people here and there. If they're vetted enough, I do my due diligence, I get any type of inspiration or motivation from their content, shit, I would better follow them back, right? I didn't care back then. I was following people. A lot of people with verification tick mark was following me. And I was like, man, I don't know this person. I'm not going to follow you back. I don't care. But that was the ego negativity back in my mindset. And that was bad. So when you mentioned that, I created this quote, or I had this quote in my mind, that's collaboration over competition. Again, listen up, collaboration over competition. And I promise you guys, it'll be exponential growth from then on. Because when you collaborate with people, there's just so many different ideas that comes into place that you don't know, and that the person that you're collaborating you with does know. And it'll open up doors to multiple different layers. Like I mentioned before, it's a different type of opportunities, again, different type of business strategy, and you're absorbing knowledge together. Whether it fails or not, there's always something to learn from it. It's a good experience. I mean, you and I right now, Boris, right? We have something going on in the back burner. And I'm freaking excited about that. It's a business collaboration once again. And it's a beautiful thing. So collaboration over competition.
I had a post a while back about conversations. And I told people, don't be scared to have conversations, because you don't know what that person holds that you may need. And you know, some people will look at you or look at others and say, oh, they're not there's nothing they can give me, right?
Right.
Everybody has just one little piece of the puzzle of your life somewhere. It could be a homeless guy on the street. It could be a CEO. It doesn't matter. Somebody has that right way to say something that's just going to connect in your brain. And you go, you know what? Wow, I didn't know that. And that's that little step that you need in life sometimes, just to move a little bit forward. I'm not saying, you know, you're going to win the lottery. No, baby steps. But those baby steps are made easier when other people help you and guide you. But all you have to do is listen. You know, open your ears, open your eyes, and then execute.
Listen and then execute and take action. Because a lot of people just listen. Oh, that's amazing, right? And then what happened next day? They didn't do anything about it. They're here, another guru, another entrepreneur, another influencer, another somebody that they look up to, give so many different advice every single day. I mean, shit, let's be honest here. One of my top idols when it comes to entrepreneurship, Gary Vee, come on now. His content, he produced hundreds, if not thousands of freaking content every single day across social media platform. He gives out so much value, but people always just take it in. Oh, I'm motivated. Oh, great. That's cool and all, right? No, but you need to take action. You can't just listen and listen in forever. you got to take action, man, or nothing's going to ever happen. I mean, sure, you know, you might know this. Oh, I have this great idea. But if you don't take action, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. It's not going to propel you to the next level. You're going to be in the same space. So
a lot of the conversations that are happening now are talking about how people are overeducated or too full of knowledge, but that's it. They read everything that they can and they look at every program, but they don't do anything with it.
Right.
They get caught in that cycle of just learning. Well, use it, apply it, execute it.
I have a good a metaphor or a comparison in terms of that. It's like a personal trainer that's a freaking unfit and out of shape trying to teach somebody how to work out, right? Let's be honest here. And I always see those in the gym and I'm like, how can you be a freaking personal trainer if you don't even apply what you practice? You don't practice what you preach. It doesn't make any sense. Just because you took a course, just because you got some sort of certification, just because you got a sort of degree and shit like that, doesn't mean that you know how to apply it for yourself.
Correct.
How can you apply it to somebody else? Which is kind of, you know.
And no, it's the truth. We live in a world today that there's a lot of wantrepreneurs. They want to do this and that, but they don't. But they try to teach others how to do it.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of gullible people out there, you know, and people that they just, of course, they want to do better, but they get caught in that cycle and they waste their money, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, we see it all the time. Like this guy's not doing anything. He's never done what he's telling you to do.
Right.
I'll get you 1 million followers, but I only have 1,000. How's that? You know what I mean? Like, you don't even know the process. So how can you guarantee results if you don't have the results for yourself? So, you know. And was it the snake oil salesman? You know, we have a lot of snake oil salesmen on the internet now. It's totally different because everybody's talking and they can make it look as if they're doing it. And at the end of the day, it's, you're like, oh shit, it's all fake. So that's why he said due diligence, go find out who they are.
That's right.
Do they really live this life that they're living? Do they have the accolades that they say they do? Are other people supporting them the way they say they are? It's easy to jump on a live with someone and then say, oh, look, I'm friends with Gary V. No, you're not. You just got lucky and got on a live.
Hey, you know? And I remember you getting on that. I was so happy for you, man. I shouted you up on that day. I remember that. With Grant Cardone also, I was like, man, Boris making moves, man. Like every time they're live, for some reason, I see you there and you know, you're just very active and you engage and you do the right thing, man. So
I believe in networking and, it's not all about money. It's also leveraging relationships. You know, people don't like, especially people of that stature don't always want to be addressed a certain way. So when I got on with Gary Vee, everybody's always asking him, I'm going to have a conversation. I know where he's from. I lived in the same town. So we literally had a conversation and that was it, which changed the dynamic for me in a way where when people contacted me, they're like, oh, how do you guys know each other? Versus, oh, that was a good question you asked them because you're on my same level. Not right. that I'm any better than anyone, but it's about perception.
Of right. Course.
So strategic. I knew it was like one day I'm gonna talk to this dude in front of people and it's gonna be a conversation between us, not me seeking advice and or help.
Love it. I love it.
So you have to be and that comes to having to be ready for opportunities. You don't always know when they're going to happen. You should always do your best to be ready.
You know what? Tell me if I'm wrong with this. Since both of us have some sort of fame and it's a micro influencer level and whatnot, for me, at least I'll speak it from my perspective. Mm-hmm. If a person comes up to me, hey, I know you for lifestyle, this and that, and they're like a fanboying, fangirling type of person, would you rather have them approach you in a way where, hey, yo, Fritz, I know you from the internet, man. Let's do something. Let's collaborate. I do this. I have this idea. What are you saying? This and that. Which approach do you like better? When a person fanboying or fangirling, or when a person approach you and has something to offer at the table right away, or at least approach you in a way, like you said, perspective, right? Mm-hmm. When you approach Gary Vee, you approach him on just asking him on a personal level. So you're not showing too much, you know, like a fanboying.
Fanboy. Exactly. That's exactly. So you caught that. I made sure that it wasn't like that. Right. And I like it when people approach me and they've approached me more. It's crazy because I still don't. How would I say it? It's hard for me to accept it. I was at a Best Buy not that long ago and I was I forgot who I was talking to. And this, hey, that's the Instagram guy with the beard. And I'm like, what? But people recognize that. And I'm just like, but I know that I'm getting through. So when I have had conversations of even people say, hey, I saw you on Gary V's live, because they still, that was over a year ago, they still mention it. I like it when they give me feedback on what I do. I want to collab with you because of this. I see how you roll. I want to do that too. I like how you did this. How do I do it? How do we do it together? So what I'm putting out, people are looking at with value, and they're going, I want to be part of that. So that I love, because it kind of verifies that for me, that what I'm doing is in a, because I want to do everything in a positive light, right?
Right.
I don't want to leave a negative influence and or impact.
I'm the same way. I'm completely the same way. I mean, I have nothing against for the fanboying or fangirling type, but I think when you're shooting your shot or when you're trying to make a relationship with somebody, like you said, you can't be just like praising them, asking them for advice, which is cool and all, which we do accept. But at the same time, I think you just gotta just be normal. We're all the same human beings. I mean, it's cool to be treated like that, right? I mean, I still get it every now and then. Yeah. You get treated, and you feel like you're some sort of celebrity or something, which is
an ego boost,
right? Let's be honest. It's an ego boost at the same time. It validates your hard work in some sort of way. But I think I like it more. I like both, but I like it more when a person approached me on a personal level, when they know you, hey, man, I truly... inspired and for everything that the content that you're putting out with, when it comes to loyalty, when it comes to your relationship with your fiance, your girlfriend for 10 years, and you become so vulnerable talking about, you know, all of this other people trying the temptations and how you're able to do that and stay loyal. That's what I like always. Or like, hey, Fritz, I really appreciate how you talk about all of your failures when it comes to your businesses and you're open this and that. Is there something I can provide value of? I would love to edit some of your videos and pictures and this and that, so I can get some free game out of you or mentorship or something, rather than asking the question right away. Hey, Fritz, how can I do this? How can I? You see what I'm saying? Get to the personal level first, and don't hesitate to ask. If you are looking up to somebody and you think like, oh, they're so high and above, you're not going to lose anything. Just reach out to them. A simple email or a comment. But then again, you got to stay consistent and persistent at the same time. You got to remember, there's hundreds of millions of people out there, especially when they have a big following, right? Sure. They get a lot of DMs, a lot of inquiries already. But if you stay persistent, I promise you, you'll definitely get connected with them. I mean, talk about your experience on getting on that live. I'm pretty sure that wasn't just your first time trying to get
that shit took forever. Like, exactly. When I finally got on, like, I would sit here, you know, 2-3 hours trying to get on.
Insane, man.
But it's that the value is that important, right? The value is that, like, that documentation is so important in the world of the social media ether today. Like, some, you know, in real life, would I do that? Probably not, you know, but on a venue like that, it's just different. It leaves a different impression, and people would DM me like, they would say this, Boris, I know I'm making it because I know someone who talked to Gary V. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy. Like, to be that valuable as a Gary V, and then to have a conversation with him where other people, you know, feel that they're making it just that step closer. Cause I talk to them. I'm like, damn, that A shows me I have influence, reach, and people are paying attention. And it tells me I have to, you know, we have a responsibility to make sure we don't misinform, right? A responsibility to not give out something that may hurt someone. Because sometimes, you know, we have good intentions, but sometimes we may say something or slip up and, you know.
But you can't be ever perfect, Boris. Let's be honest.
I get that. But I've said things that, have come off the wrong way, right?
Right.
And of course, it's not intentional. But what I mean is, when you have more reach and more people are listening to, it's just something that I personally pay more attention to, is making sure that I don't. All right, make sure that I'm being authentic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be inauthentic. I don't want to slip up and say something that's gonna not hurt someone's feelings, but just, you know, I talk about a lot of mental health stuff. So that's what I'm really careful. I don't want to slip up and say something that somebody might go like kill themselves, or, you know, because I've had conversations with people on lives that are trying, you know, that are suicidal. Like, there's crazy shit that has happened like that. So I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but they,
no, you know, for some reason, all of my life is all about just, it's positive. It's mentorship. It's coaching. It's real practical advice on the spot. Yeah. It's just like me showing off, you know, just my life. And when I jump on live, I talk about both sides of the coin, the failures and the successes. Yeah. And so when I said about like, oh, we can't control ourselves being trying to be perfect at the same time, that in an essence right there is being inauthentic for me. So when I stutter, right, when I stutter or I look bad at a certain angle, whether I'm trying to post something, fitness content or something, like, I don't care, man. I don't know about you. Yeah. I hate
reposting. Well, no, see, that's
different. I hate reposting and re-vlogging.
That's a characteristic thing. Like, right. For example, Joe Rogan knows not to say certain things because it can be taken out of context.
Okay.
Right? Not that we're Joe Rogans, but our, you know, we still have a reach that people are listening to. So we just have to be careful with what we say. Not in a character way, like, oh, I stuttered or I look a certain way. I don't mean
right.
Just our influence to other people.
I got you.
Is what I'm saying. I got you. If you know, you'd be surprised how much people look up to what we do.
Right.
Like, I don't, you know, there's times where I've been humbled by it. I'm like, holy shit, I did not know that it was that
even impactful.
If it's one person. It's one person. Oh, yeah. It's not like it's a lot of people, but you know, to have people tell you, hey, thank you for saying what you did and opening up, because it's helped me do whatever it is that I'm doing. It, you know, it just like for me, I've had people that have opened up to me, and even their stories online where, I mean, that, you know, their vulnerabilities help me overcome certain things. Right.
Right.
Which, you know, that's a tough thing to do out in the open, to tell people, hey, I'm weak. I failed, you know, not a lot of people want to do that. Now it's like, it's more popular now than it ever used to be. You know, back in the day, people wouldn't, you know,
talk. Yeah, they won't ever talk about it because they'll be embarrassed about it. I mean, come on, who likes talking about their failures or their hardships or some of the disabilities that they might have or some of the things that they have experienced in the past with their family or friends and stuff like that, right? Nobody likes talking about that. But what had happened is that when people start seeing it, when people talk about those real genuine things, people tend to what? To interact more, to support you more. And to see your journey, they follow up with your journey and how you're able to overcome those obstacles. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And that's why I think I separate myself from all of these other gurus and stuff like that, because I'm living it. I'm basically just documenting everything that's going on, whether it's my entrepreneurship, whether that's my relationship, whether that's my fitness, my travel, how much money I make, what accomplishments I, you know. And it might come off, like you said, it might come off in a different way for some people, but at the end of the day, I can't be perfect. I mean, I'm just doing it. I'm just documenting. Sure, yeah. The showing, the flexing, the nice, beautiful jewelries and diamonds and luxury lifestyle and the money and the income, the revenue. Sure, is it part of the marketing? Hell yeah. To be completely honest, it's part of the marketing, but at the same time, I'm proud of it. I'm showing you that if I can do it, so can you. I'm documenting the process so that you see what the type of work that goes behind the scenes, that this doesn't happen overnight. It really doesn't. So when I show up, like, you know how like a quick 5K, 1,000, 3,000 here and there every single day, you know, I generate those like just from my growth packages and my consulting, my mentorship and coaching. And it's cool and all. So a quick screenshot of that money being sent through, whether it's Venmo, Chase, QuickPay, Cash App, PayPal, Stripe and stuff like that. It gives people a sense of proof at the same time, and it motivates them. Wow, he just gained another like 6K while he was on vacation. He got another $300 just for a 15-minute call on the phone. Like, you know, and when I post that, my intention is not to show off. My true intention is to make an impact and inspire somebody that's be like, huh, I'm working 9-to-5 job, but at the same time, I have all this time in the other world. Maybe I should do some sort of side hustle. Right. Something that I can develop on a side of things. And perhaps once that my passive income, my side hustle is able to generate me a certain amount of money in order to sustain my certain lifestyle and expenses, then maybe I can quit the 9-to-5 and then focus on my side hustle to become my main business, my main hustle that generates me the lifestyle, to live the lifestyle, the ultimate freedom that everybody wants. And I think that's the breaking cycle. A lot of people think, oh, we're belittling people that work 9-to-5. Hell no, I'm not trying to tell you to quit 9-to-5.
Not at all.
Not at all. That's not my thing. What I'm telling you is that you have all the time in the world just to work a little bit more. So you don't complain. You don't whine about, oh, I can't travel. Oh, I can't buy luxury things. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I have to choose in the menu what's the cheapest, not the stuff that I actually want.
Right.
When I realized that a couple years ago, I'll say probably 7-8 years ago, something that, man, I really want that. I want the surf and turf. I want the prime steak. I want the Wagyu beef. But then again, the price is different, right? You're looking at the right side of the menu.
Yeah.
I changed my mindset. You know what? I'm like, no, I'm going to get this. Sure, it's going to break the bank. But at the same time, it's going to motivate the hell out of me to work harder. So next time I come out here, I don't ever have to look at the freaking menu's prices, but the stuff that I actually like and order it on the spot. And ever since then, again, mindset. It's all about mindset. So I order the most expensive thing every single time and challenge myself. So it can only be a positive thing in terms of my work ethic. And I got to work harder and just going to keep going at it, man. I don't know about you, man. What do you think about that in terms of that mindset thing?
I believe it. I went to a seminar. It was like this guy here in Houston, and he had all his luxury cars parked outside. And that was part of his seminar was, look, you know, he had a Ferrari, Lamborghini, you know, everything outside. So there was a spot open. And I asked the guy when I came to the hotel, you know what, can you park my car right next to that one? In between literally the Lamborghini, and he had some big truck, and I paid him like $25, like boom, go, you know. So because I knew after the event we're going to come out, and he let everybody sit in the car so they can feel what it, you know, smells like and all that. And I was like, oh, by the way, that's my Acura over there. I'm that important to myself. My mindset says I need to park up front. I'm not parking in the back. And they all looked at me, and I'm like, and he literally told that story just before we came down. He had an old Acura Legend, and he had parked it up front just the same way. And I just, you know, my mindset said, you know what? I'm worth enough. Let me park right up front.
I love that.
and you know, it doesn't have to be a Lamborghini. You know, it's still a nice Acura, but I'm going to treat it the same way. And everybody kind of said, you know what? That's and in that same seminar, being that I call myself King Boris, I do that purposely because – everybody's in the lobby, and Wesley comes by and goes, hey, what's up, King? Hey, what's up, Wes? And they look at me. He just called me King, and he's the guy throwing the event. So everybody kind of looked like, that's interesting. I was like, but that's perception. I was like, what's up, bro? And that's it, you know.
That's credibility, man. That's credibility. That's so branding right there, bro.
That's mindset. You got to, A, be about it. Right. Not that I'm a real king yet. You know, I don't own my own country soon, but, you know, it's a process. And that's how you set your mindset. You don't have to live it at the moment, but your mindset is important. Work that job as if you own it.
Right.
Because you fall into a routine, and that's what your mindset always is. And that's what I tell my kids. If you're going to put the basketballs away, be the best basketball stacker ever. Why? Because that is your mindset. I'm an owner. I'm a winner. And I'm going to do it as best as I can. And that's it. Don't worry about what people think, how, you know, but one day somebody's going to be watching that's going to matter and go, you know what? I want that guy. Why? Because
exactly.
I could tell he works hard no matter what. So every job I've ever had, I work as hard as I can for me and as if it's my company. And that's a mindset you have to put yourself in because it eliminates that laziness and that, you know what? I'm going to try to cut corners here and there. Nah, I'm going to do this shit right the first time. I'm going to be the best at it. And once you get used to that mindset and it becomes a routine, guess what? That's how you do everything. And that's why I feel mindset is everything.
Mm.
How many times have we bought ourselves down and felt in a negative way? That's our mindset. We can't do this. We can't do that. Especially when we're younger. I don't know about you. When I was 20 or something, I'm thinking, okay, you know, if I don't make it by the time I'm 30, then, you know, I'm a loser.
I'm hard on myself, man. I'm going to be... Again, straightforward, authentic. I'm always hard on myself. I was mad that I didn't make it to Forbes under 30. Really mad. Really mad at myself. I feel like that I'm not validated. I'm not credible enough. I'm not accomplished enough. I'm not valued enough. So I was mad at myself that I didn't push myself harder and more, take more risks and stuff like that. But when it comes to that, though, you know, I look back, I sat back, it's like, man, I've been featured in Forbes multiple times already, just not Forbes under 30. Right. I got accomplished in 2019, Asian American in Chicago, Hall of Fame, the youngest, one of the youngest for the past two decades, three decades, however long they've been doing it for. Mm-hmm. All of my fellow colleagues, Hall of Famer, guess what? How old are they? 40, 50, some of them even 60 years old. And here I am back then. I was like only 28, 29 or something. So I look back and realize that, sure, you know, sometimes we can be really hard on ourselves, but at the same time, you got to look back and see how far you've gotten.
Yes.
And to be able to be thankful and grateful for all the support system that happened and all the successes that you have accomplished, whether it's little or big, you know?
Yep.
So now, you know what? I look back now, I'm just chilling. I'm like, you know what? Guess what? Forbes under 40 is here. Here I come. Easy work.
I hit Forbes under 40 at 39, like a month before my birthday.
Oh, you were so close. Like,
yeah, so close, but I still got it. And I said, okay. And then after that, I think I hit there's another one that's the 40 of the 40 of 40 was like 2 months later.
It's probably Inc. Magazine. Probably. It
was 40 of 40. And I was like, okay, I just turned 40. So I just made the cuffs for 30. And then like 2 months later, I did the 40. I'm like, all right, perfect.
You know what's funny though? Like when people Google my name, there's a book that I got featured on. It's called 30 Under 30. So it's somewhat similar to Forbes Under 30, but I got featured in that book too. So I'm like, I got it. And there's some sort of quotes that people quoted me on. I think they misunderstood. So SEO-wise, when people search on me, they'll still show Forbes Under 30, even though I've only been featured in Forbes and stuff like that. Thrive Global is one of the biggest thing too. And I appreciate them. They show me a lot of love. I don't know the person who's handling their social media, specifically Instagram. They're following me there. They're verified. They're a big page. They've been following me since I was like only 30K, maybe back in 2016 or 2015 or something. And, you know, I'm still waiting for Forbes to follow me back, man. I think when that day comes, that'll be dope.
What are you guys waiting on? I want everybody to go ask. Everybody go DM them. What's your problem? Why are you taking so long?
You guys featured me, Forbes. You guys featured me at least 20, 30 times already in multiple different articles, along with my fellow YEC members. Shout out to all my YEC people, Young Entrepreneur Council out there that generate seven figures and higher. Great job.
There you go. What's that little planet right behind you, that round globe?
Oh, this is just – right. So this is just – you know, it's for lifestyle, man. I love to live life to the fullest. I think I've talked about this in multiple podcasts, multiple articles and stuff like that, that the money and the fame is just a byproduct. For me, it's the impact that I'm making. So this globe represents like, sure, I want to control it, but at the same time, I want to make the world a better place by inspiring people in all aspects of life, whether it's fitness, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's relationship, the wisdom that I implement out there. I have this hashtag. I don't really trademark it, but people know me from that. It's called Wisdom of the Day. You use it. I think over 100,000 people already used it. And you see my motivational quote that I put out there in terms of my, you know, just my thought leadership and stuff like that. The globe is like, no flex or anything. When I just want to travel, I just spin it around and then I point at the country, wherever I go. Hey, that's where we go. So yeah, so my fiance and I have already probably been to over 40, if not more places in the past 3-5 years that we've been traveling. We have this thing now that we started, that monthly travels. We need to travel once every single month. So beginning of this year, we're going strong. January for my birthday, we celebrated it at St. Croix, beautiful U.S. Virgin Islands. On February, Valentine's Day, we celebrated at Aruba, a super luxury place. I love it. It's beautiful scenery, the food and the people out there. I felt like I was back home, back in the Philippines. Everybody's so welcoming. March, guess what though? I was working so hard. I was working nonstop with all scaling my systems and stuff like that. I hired new salespeople and teams, multiple appointment setters, VAs and everything, you know, for the remote pieces and all that stuff all together. So we couldn't even travel. So April now comes along and we're planning to do either twice this to make up for it. So we just got back this morning from St. John / St. Thomas, another U.S. Virgin Islands. Beautiful. Again, beautiful. The food.
You were in a boat.
Oh, my God. I was in a yacht.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I was watching.
On the first 3 days. Yep. Just enjoying life. We got the whole freaking thing, man. Yeah. It's an 80-foot yacht. And I was just doing crazy stuff out
there. Yeah, no, I was watching. I'm like, man, that's okay. And that's why I asked today. I was like, yo, you sure you're going to be able to come on? Because I know you was just
I just got back. So I'm tired. I'm restless. But hey, when the time comes on, I, I'm, I'm very, very strategically strict when it comes to appointments. I live by my calendar. So I looked at it. I was like, okay, man, my boy Boris hit me up on this one. I'm the one to set that up. I want to make sure I got to do it. It's the same thing with my employees. It's the same thing with my relationship. When I tell my fiance, it's lunchtime, it's breakfast time, it's gym time, it's this time, it's this time, this time, this time. Like, I go by my schedule. How am I going to be able to manage multiple different businesses and all my employees if I'm just going by how I feel? It doesn't work like that. Right. You need to go by your calendar and set up our blocks. You know, how am I going to stay fit all year round, Boris, if I'm handling 10, 12 different businesses, if not more? I have over maybe 30 plus clients. And then I have over 20 plus employees remotely still, you know, on top of my other brick and mortar businesses. How do I constantly create my own content now in terms of my social media? How do I manage this business collaboration to continuously grow my brand? How do I get featured in multiple different articles? Again, it's time management, it's consistency, and just being very, very strict when it comes to it. So I love it, man. My whole brand, when I converted my Fritz Fitness, because before I was just all about fitness, right? Fritz Fitness was my original brand, my personal brand. Mm-hmm. From 2011 to 2013, it's all about Fritz Fitness. But when I realized this, I started posting my relationship. I started posting my family. I started posting my travel. I started posting the business aspect of my mindset and stuff like that. I'm getting a lot of unfollows, man. And I get less likes. Unfollows every time I post my beautiful girlfriend during that time, which is my fiance now. And I get a lot of unfollows. And I feel like, man, I got to delete this post. So I was faking it, bro, because I wasn't feeling good, because I didn't get that thousands of likes, the hundreds of comments that usually when I post a freaking six pack with the best angle, my arm looks good, my chest looks good. Yeah. And I put a motivational quote in the caption and stuff like that, right? But I realized, you know what? Fuck the followers. Fuck the likes. Fuck the engagement and everything altogether. I will post whatever it is going on in my life that I want. So therefore, I don't have to overthink things or what to say and what to post at all. And it comes very natural and easy. Ever since I started doing that, my followers start going down from, like, I think I was only maybe 40,000 followers back then. I think I got down to like 30K or 20K, even lower, you know, in a matter of months. By 2014 to 2018, maybe even late 2017, that's when I broke the plateau to the new followers that I'm getting from the entrepreneurship people, from the people that actually matters and that truly supports me and that love my content, and the people that I'm following from the fitness side of things. And I broke the plateau from then on, and I was like, oh my God, this is it. And then ever since then, it's just a linear growth over and over again. Then Clubhouse came along, gave me an exponential boost again. Yeah. Then, now I just broke the freaking 100K plus. I'm already at 120K. I broke the 100K a couple months ago. Now I'm already 120K. I think you constantly just, it's a growth of progression and just knowing truly who you are and what you want to put out there. Yeah. Like, the genuine side of me, just like, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. Fuck all the freaking followers. I don't care whether people like me or not. It doesn't matter. But what I'm posting is what matters to me. If people get inspired from my relationship, great. People get inspired from my fitness, awesome. People get inspired from my all entrepreneurial tips, my luxury travel, my beautiful lifestyle and everything altogether, then that comes with it. And I love it, man. But yeah, that's the question, man. That's what this globe represents and all this beautiful stuff that I've, you know, that I have and accomplished in my life.
You proposed to your wife in Paris?
Yes, I did. Yes, on her birthday, November 30th of 2019.
Yeah, pay attention. That's one of the,
I love that.
That's one of the memorable posts of yours that I always remember, is you went to Paris. That's when you rented that Ferrari, and I think that's when you proposed to, you know, your fiance now. And I just remember that journey. It's crazy how I know that, but I've never met you, right? But I remember that, and I know that she was your girlfriend. She, you know, you asked her to marry you. You guys went to Paris, and it was just a beautiful thing that I digested, and, you know, I've been married 15 years, so it kind of bought
Congratulations, man. That's a long time.
16 years. So yeah, my son's going to be 15. So yeah, it goes quick, man. It goes quick. And
it does. We've been together for literally a decade now, like 10 years. And I can't believe it myself. I'm like, oh my God, that is a long time.
But what you put out there definitely was important. You know what I mean? So changing it the way you did, is it brings your target audience in of what your life is like. So that way, you know, it's relatable. You know what I'm saying? It's not just fitness. Yes, you lost a lot of fitness followers, but you gained a lot of lifestyle followers, which is what right. you want. And that's exactly. what you teach. That's what you show. That's, you know. So where does everybody find you? What's your website, your Instagram? How do people look you up?
People just Google me, Fritz Kolkol. All of my accolades and all my social media will show up. But I'm most active on Instagram. Why? It's the easiest platform that I've ever used in my life. Before, it was Instagram and Snapchat. And I like the My Story and stuff like that. But every time that the My Story came out on Instagram feature, it killed Snapchat. I was like, you know, forget Snapchat. I'm not going to use it. I installed it. It's all about just Instagram now. And whatever content that I have out there, I repost it in different other things, unless it's a vlog. I did a little YouTube here and there. I probably should start back on it. But I didn't really get that much traction. I think I only got like 1,000 plus subscribers out there. I got
to be real consecutive with that. You got to constantly put out.
Yeah.
You can't stop. So, you know, YouTube's a whole different beast. So I, and really I'm the is. Same way. Instagram's my bread and butter because it's just easy to put together.
It really is. And you that's know. Where 90% of my profit and my clients are coming from. As I said,
yeah.
Instagram had allowed me not only inspire people in such a way, but I've created literally lots of business relationships from this and lots of money. And I'm talking about seven figure guys. This is $1 million. Like for the past 10 years, I've been on this thing. And that's how it would allow me to invest in multiple different platforms and multiple different businesses and stuff like that, because of the connection I'm able to make. It's such a powerful tool. So I don't just use it to document my life. It's basically the documentation that comes from my content. It's my business. They don't right. see it, exactly. right? When IGTV, they invited me. I'm not sure if you're able to get it. I asked a couple people if they got it or not. The monetization in IGTV.
Oh, yeah, I got like it. YouTube yeah. AdSense.
See, I got it. So I was surprised yeah. they sent me that invite. So I was like, oh, my God, in that's kind of cool.
Since they offered it to me, I'm starting a series probably today on my Instagram, and I'm just going to be on IGTV. Every day I'm just going to come on and talk to anyone. Anyone.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. I started slow. So I did it for one of my clients. My clients, actually, they're all family. They're called the Ben Salmi family. By the way, you guys should check them out. Beautiful, amazing families, young entrepreneurs and hustlers. And they like literally teenagers, right? Teenagers that written books. Wow. Not one, not two, over 6, 7 multiple different books. This guy says so smart. And I just happened to meet them where? Social media again, through Clubhouse. They heard me speak. They speak on one of my stages. I'm like, I would love to mentor you guys. Let me help you guys get to the next level. Use my platform to get you guys and connect you guys with the right people. Ever since then, we've been working on Instagram. They've gained hundreds and hundreds of extra collaborations, selling their books, podcasts, hosting and stuff like that. And some like some sort of brand partnerships that they were able to get. And I love that. Okay. So that's the series that we're doing, IGTV, every Thursday. Oh,
yes, that's right. I did see it because I've seen you do it. Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's what I'm doing for that series. So maybe I should do that more often. You're going to do it every day, man. It's a lot of work. Yeah, I'm going to give you props on that.
It's you're going to be on it. I mean, whoever, and it doesn't mean that somebody has to be on every day. I just want to come on and have a conversation with myself or someone like it. I mean, anyone. It's free. You know what I'm saying? All you do is set your phone up and talk. And since I know I talk to people every day, and that's the thing, for years, I've made it a point to make sure to talk to at least one person every day. About I love whatever.
It. You know what, Boris? When we talk offline, even before this podcast, we talk for like hours on that one night until midnight. And the conversation that we talk about, they're so deep. I wish we were recording that podcast. And that's to be the honest thing. With you.
So that's what gave me the idea. I've had so many conversations through the years that I'm like, man, I wish I can have them like that online, right? That's one of the reasons I started the podcast. Was because I want to have these conversations and record them and put them on a platform. But then, you know, that I've been able to put people on my podcast that I actually look up to, that I've followed for 20 years, that I grew up with listening to their music or their brand. So the podcast is a little different. And I said, you know what? I forgot how it popped in my head, but so I'm going to do that on Instagram. I'm just going to sit here. I'm having the conversations anyway. I might as well just record them. And it gives other people a platform that normally would not get a platform, right? I have conversations with people that don't have any following that are just amazing conversations because they're amazing people. I just want to share that. and just kind of create an atmosphere of everybody has something to say and everybody has something that's important to say. You don't have to be anyone famous. It doesn't matter. Everyone has something important to say. I'm not going to talk some crazy shit on there. I'll be easy, but it's not going to be scripted. I'm literally going to bring people on and say, all right, let's talk. What do you want to talk about today?
By the way, guys, this is not scripted at all. Boris, it's just like, hey, have you been to my podcast? And I'm like, I don't think so, man. And he was like, hey, we've known each other for years. So why didn't you jump on? I'm like, all right, man, send me the calendar. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, I try to keep it as organic as I can and not scripted. Sometimes I will write down some notes to stay on topic and for time purposes, because I'll go on for 2-3 hours. I don't think people have that much time to listen, but But yeah, I mean, I appreciate your time coming on, man. I've been watching you for years. Everything that you put out is definitely positive and has influenced
not just me,
but I'm sure thousands of people. So, you're definitely an important part of this podcast because your life is important and you're teaching a lot of people a lot of important things. You know what I'm saying? So I hope everybody goes and follows and really digests what you do, because I think it's important. You live and you teach and you show, and there's nothing better than that because you're about it. You're living and preaching what you do. You're not fake about it, So is there anything else you want to leave everybody with?
No, that's pretty much it, man.
Any plugs, any news, anything special?
No need for a shout or anything, but if they want to, just a quick little tips and advice, I'm always open for my DMs, but please be patient. I try to get back as much as possible. We have, I think, 3 VAs or appointment setters that handles my social media and stuff like that. If they get back to you in a certain manner, or if you haven't gotten a response, just stay persistent. Keep sending those DMs. It's literally copy and paste if it's the same message. When you get on top, we'll see it right away and we'll respond accordingly. But other than that, you guys can check me out at Fritz Lifestyle, any social media platform. And I appreciate you, Boris, bringing me on board. And this is a great conversation, a great podcast.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you, man. I agree. And I'll talk to you offline, man.
Sounds good, bro.
All right, brother. You be safe. Peace
out.